Welcome to season 3 of the Student Leadership Podcast. We believe you were created to make a difference. So we want to equip you to lead your generation in whatever setting you find yourself in. So whether it's your high school, middle school, college campus, or anywhere in between, we want to help you point others to Jesus. What is going on, everybody? And welcome to the overtime episode. We got the overtime crew, both Calebs, Caleb Squared, Colin. Oh, yeah. I'm your boy, the George.
Let's go.
And we're here to break down Peter Reeves' second message that he gave us.
And just in case you forgot my voice, the bumbling brooks through the field of flowers.
The bumbling brook.
There we go.
You're bumbling. Through.
We just need like a sound test just to make sure we know what's going on.
So that's wow. Caleb Leek, who is joining us again.
Yes,
youth
sir.
Pastor at Allison Park Church. So glad to have you. And then, of course, Colin Robinson,
that's
Caleb
cool.
Holt. I'm Jordan Kalarik. And we're pumped to break down what Peter Reeves was talking about. His message can be surmised as such. Talk about what you love. Talk about what you love. If you haven't listened to that, you must go back. And
so good.
And yeah, you got to listen to it. Check it out. He really did a good job of applying that in a lot of different ways. So I'm starting off with a little question for the three of you. Do you think naturally you talk more about what you love or what you hate? What do you end up talking about more? Things you hate or things you love more?
So easy.
Oh,
I think I easily talk about the things I hate.
Oh, I actually think that's also
really?
You said that with the biggest smile.
I was like, oh.
I actually, like, when I think about even like hot takes on TikTok and stuff, It's usually about things that aren't good. Like,
yeah.
You all like this, and this thing stinks.
You're wrong.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm a particularly negative person.
No, I ask that because that's me too.
I think I tend to talk about and like trash on the things that I don't like.
Yeah. Okay, wait, let's talk to the two Boy Scouts who haven't.
I didn't do the Boy Scouts. They, man, like, I did a Royal Rangers. Come on.
Oh, that's even worse.
Okay, I was Caleb's buddy every time.
Cute.
I will go back and forth. So if I'm especially around people who are just like overly positive and they're like, look at how amazing this is. Look at how amazing that is. Like, I did this to somebody yesterday. I was like, do you know how bad my life is right now?
Oh, gosh.
Versus like, no, but like, because there's sometimes where like,
what a quote. Colin, do you need an intervention? Do you need help? Buddy,
like that.
Do you know to the level of which how bad?
No, it's like, okay, yesterday I was like super exhausted and people were like, life's fun. And I was like, I'm so tired. Like, I just want to leave.
Whoa, man.
Yeah, you were there too. Okay.
Grandpa energy.
Yeah, honestly. No, but if people are like in a really bad mood though,
then I
more so like kind of feel like I want to balance it out and be like, no, guys, like life's great. So I don't understand myself.
Oh, okay. The need to be against.
Oh, contrarian.
Wow. I'm gonna have to pray about that.
Yeah, okay,
good. I don't know what spiritual gift that is.
Take that to counseling or something. No, I agree. I do that. I definitely do that too. I was also thinking about like, you guys remember like lunchroom table energy?
Homeschooled.
You and your mom at the lunch table.
Wow, homeschooled and Royal Rangers.
Wonderful conversations.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just remember, I feel like most of the things we just talked about, everything that sucks, like, oh, this person stinks in fantasy football.
It's where hot takes originally started, was at the lunch table.
Yeah, it's just like negative all the time. Okay, so what does that say about us, or why do you think that is, that Peter, what he was saying, talk about what you love, we have to start with pretty counterintuitive to start there. Oh, let's talk about what we love. Well, we're busy a lot talking about things we don't like about school, things we don't like about our teachers, things we don't like about our university, don't like about our family. Why do you think that is? Are we all literally just that negative?
I don't think we're unhappy.
I think
we're ungrateful.
Oh,
I think I've had to realize. Yeah, I know.
I like that.
I feel like most of the time we're unhappy, or we're saying we're unhappy, or that we don't like things because we're not getting what we want. Whenever if we really just kind of look at reality, the majority of us wouldn't have a lot to complain about, I don't think. And when I start getting into those mindsets where I am like, and I'm mad about this and I'm mad about that. That was me yesterday. And then when I was driving home, I had to think about it. I'm like, I'm really happy about how this went today. And I'm happy about how this went today. Was today necessarily perfect? No, but there are more things that I can be grateful for than not. And this sounds like the most like grandfatherly advice that I can say. But yeah, if you're always focused on what you're not getting, what's not happening, you're not going to come across as a happy person that loves anything, because in your mind, the world's cheated you. You're not getting what you want. every other bad thing that could happen is happening. You had to walk to school uphill both ways.
Got him. I'm glad that you rounded that out, because I was going to give you a nice hug after the podcast. Yeah.
Well, like your drive home,
genderly affirming pat like that. Yes, pat, yes, pat.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think it's also just easier to be negative.
Yes.
Because like you look at social media and everything, like, everyone's negative. It's just easy to be that way. It's easy to be in your feels and to be sad and to be, oh, like, this hurt me, or this is this way, and just to be a little more negative and down on things. I think it's natural.
It takes no skill to talk about the things that are not going well.
Everyone's a critic.
It's funny, yeah, too, though, at times.
Everyone's a critic. Everyone can point out problems. And so, yeah, I think the thing that I think about is, like, how do you consistently go towards a mindset that is positive when it's easy and natural to go towards negative?
Especially with authority figures. I feel like, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, am I really going to be that brown-nosing student that's like, this teacher isn't that bad? Like, the second that you do that, you're like, oh, dang it, what have I done?
It's isolating.
Yes. So it's much easier to be like, they didn't tell us the homework in time, or this prof stinks, or what. It's so much easier to talk about the negative things than it is like, positive.
Yeah. Yeah. And it almost feels like you need to build habits in your life to regularly pursue a positive outlook.
Oh.
So I don't know. This is good. I guess this is a question I have just, I don't think you might have an answer for this, but like, what are some things you guys do to regularly look at things and have this thing where you're talking about things in a positive way rather than looking at it at the negative side?
Okay, I don't know if I have a regular rhythm of this. So this podcast is kind of inspiring me, because I feel like I go up and down. Like I'm currently riding a lot of the roller coaster of life. Like, when life is good, it's easy for me to be positive, and when it's not, I'm negative, and I'm just like caught in it. And right now I'm realizing I do not have a regular. This is something Jordan does every week regardless, to practice appreciation. So maybe I need to get that, bro. That's a great question.
Well, especially when you're in the pits.
Yeah.
When it's
the
like
pits. The pits. Not the pits.
like when you are in just a downturn of life, yes, where things are not going well, it's really easy to be negative. And so, yeah, like finding those times when it is hard to say, what can I do to change my perspective here? Again, these are all completely unfiltered thoughts, because I'm also self-processing myself here.
Well, that's good.
What do I need to do for this?
Okay, so let me ask this question. Whoever wants to jump in, that's fine. We're reminder, we're talking about not just being positive, but we're trying to talk about what we love. And we're comparing that to, it's easier to talk about what we don't love. How would someone start talking about what they love? The easy answer is go up to someone and talk about what you love. But
just
like,
do it.
Just talk about what you love. How does someone go about that? Or if you have a different thought, that's fine too.
Yeah, I think for me, it starts with, we kind of talked about this, just like being grateful. Mm-hmm. That's where it starts for me, right? And I know that if I am walking into the beginning of the day, maybe not walking into it, I don't know why I said that, but like, I'm starting out my day, mm-hmm, and there's a couple of questions that I like to ask myself. And one of them is, what am I grateful for, right? And that's almost like shifting your perspective before you even get into the normal up and down of your daily life, right? So you're going in almost on the offense, right? And so you're not just reacting to what things are coming up against you in your life. Because I feel like if you don't go unprepared, right, the very easy, simple, quick reaction is, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the worst.
Yeah.
I hate this. I hate that, blah, 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 right? But if you start your day with the mindset of, okay, I'm grateful for the school that I'm going to. I'm grateful for the clothes I have. I'm grateful for the job that I have. When things that don't necessarily go your way come up, it's really easy for you to flip that around. Like, yeah, it's all right. It's not that big of a deal, right?
Dang.
Okay. And then when you get into conversations with people,
yeah,
you're not a negative Nancy.
Not
you're
Nancy.
A positive Peter.
Oh. Wow. Oh. Write that down.
Write that down, Colin.
Okay. I think it comes down to even what you're filling your heart up with too, because out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth's going to speak.
Yep.
So whatever you're actually consuming the most of and actually filling your heart up with, that's going to be what you end up talking about the most. So some of this, like the reason why you're talking negative, or the reason why it's hard to talk about what you love, is because you and your friends only talk about bad things. Like I was talking about this with a friend last night, of like looking at different phases of my life and being like, why was I just such a just depressed person. And I could pinpoint it of like, oh yeah, me and this group of friends would hang out and all we would do was talk about what was wrong.
Yeah.
Like that's all that we would do. And so that's what was filling up my heart. Like a bunch of those types of situations versus, and this doesn't mean that you can't like acknowledge what is real and what is happening in your world, because sometimes there are bad things that are happening.
Sure, sure, sure.
That doesn't mean talking about what you love means that you're refusing to acknowledge what is actually bad in the world, but it means that what I've done is I've filled up my heart with enough good things that whenever you're asking me about what's going on, I have not just filled up my heart with all the negative things, but I have filled up my heart with positive things.
Okay, let's apply this now to people, because Peter did an awesome job starting with, you can talk about your passions.
Positive Peter, I
positive
would say.
Peter.
Yeah, there we go. It all talked about.
Okay, that's great. Let's talk about people, because he's saying, now talk about what you love about them. Okay.
Is this a tough one for you, George?
Yes, it is, because like we said, it's easier to see the things that we don't. I'm a critical person. I'm an opinionated person. Is it fake? He said, talk about things you love. I don't love anything about this person. Like, if I'm being like, just be honest, I probably don't love anything about them. Is it fake? Is it best to keep my mouth shut? Or do I open it and say stuff that isn't true, but I'm gassing them up because Jesus told me to? Like, what the heck is the balance there?
Break that apart for a second. Where's the line between I'm going to love somebody and like somebody?
I don't know.
No, because the list that I see in the Bible that talks about love is very different from the I like this person because they are similar to me and all this. Like, love in the Bible, like 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love that is going to be kind. It's going to be patient with other people. It's going to protect other people. It's going to believe the best, not keep a record of the things that they've done that have been wrong and like screwed me over in the end. Like, so there's a big fine line between I'm looking at people and saying like, I like this about you versus the choice of saying, I'm going to love you and I'm going to exhibit things towards you that are going to be fruits of the Spirit.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think a lot of times when we hear that passage of scripture, it's at a wedding, right? Yeah. And we think that it's about romantic love and that it's about, you know, when your husband or your wife is having a bad day and they're being rude to you and they're being snippy, like, just give them grace.
Your boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, sorry.
Those things right there are characteristics of Christ-like love between Christians, right? Between non-Christians is what it should be, right? And part of it is calling out the best in people and speaking to their potential and what they could be.
Which I feel like Jesus does with us all the time. I mean, yeah. I've had these prayers where I'm talking with God and I'm like, I am amazed by the love that you give me, because I feel like if the situation was reversed, I wouldn't love you as much if I was acting the same way.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And you see this even with Jesus here, like on the earth, there were some annoying people that were around Jesus. Like there was a dude who was up in a tree that was trying to spy on Jesus. And Jesus was like, let's go get lunch. Okay. Typically we immediately it's like, okay, block, unfollow. Like I'm sick of this person creeping on me. And Jesus was the one who was showing love to those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think anyone who says like, I can't find anything about this person that I like or that I want to share about, like you talking about being, is it fake? To me, it's like, that's not true. There's something.
They're being stubborn.
Deep. You're being stubborn, and you're probably letting your own personal feelings of how you feel about that person get in the way of what you're trying to do. Here's the thing. You have to recognize that like God sees them and made them and created them, and he loves them. So look at it through the lens of how God sees them. And I think that's easier said than done, but it's like, just try and find something. Maybe that's like, I really liked their outfit today.
There you go.
Like, I'm going to share that. Man, I can tell you when someone says, I love your outfit, that is one of the most encouraging things.
Oh, I feel so cool.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, thank you. Yeah. But then I think as you begin to practice this, I think this is a skill, not something that's just like, you got to just start doing it. It's something that's learned. So it's like, the more you step out and try to encourage, and the more you start to do this, the more you're going to realize, oh wow, there are things about people that I really admire that maybe either because of pride, because I think I don't want them to be better than me, or I'm annoyed by them sometimes, I don't want to admit. But it's like, just stepping out and saying, this is about encouraging and loving, not about me saying how I feel about something.
It's pretty arrogant now that I'm hearing it all laid out. Like, my thought was honest, but it's pretty arrogant to say like, I can't find anything to love about you, because it's like, dude, God loves them and died for them. Like, who are you?
He created them, like, designed them.
Like, what on earth are you doing being like, yeah, I'm better than you. Like, I'm just overall better.
Or there's nothing good about them. Yeah. It's like, huh?
Yeah. Now, I will also say that that sounds like, you know, just in being in leadership a little bit, those are the rumblings of, oh, there's a bitterness issue there for sure. That is a stronghold that is in your life. It might even just be with that one person. You know, I'm nice with everyone else. It's just this one person. Well, I don't know why that happened, but that's probably a stronghold that you need to release to Jesus. And maybe Peter Reeves' teaching is the exact antidote to that bitterness stronghold, like talking about what you love about them.
100%. And if you want to be a person of influence, this is not something that I've come up with, but I've heard so many amazing leaders say, is it's through honor and it's through encouragement and it's through sharing love. It's not through being the man, but it's usually when you are the most encouraging, the most honoring, that you get into rooms that you wouldn't get into otherwise.
Yes.
You build so much influence with people when you do that. And I don't think that's a super profound thought or something that's like brand new that we've never heard before. But it's something that you have to be intentional about practicing, because it can easily slip into the background of, I want to do this, but isn't that actually what you're really aiming towards?
God opposes the proud. So he's literally standing against you. Like, some of you are like, God's on my side. Well, if you're being prideful, God is actually on the opposite side of you. And I think he might win that one. But God gives, he opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I feel like you were talking about honor. I feel like those go hand in hand, that honor is so countercultural. Okay. So we're talking about honoring other people, choosing, lowering our pride. But let's go back to kind of the first concept Peter talked about, which is just really talking about the things that we love. Maybe there are students, I would imagine sometimes I am having a hard time imagining my random pet projects and hobbies and things that I like, how on earth that would help anyone in their faith. And so I want to do something kind of unique as we wrap up, and maybe we could park here for a second. I'd love to hear how something random in your life that you love, talk about what you love, something that you have has opened up a conversation about the gospel, or you found an inlet to the gospel, or maybe you just encouraged someone with just talking about something you love.
Yeah.
Anyone want to go first?
Yeah, I can start here. As a youth pastor, I think I find that I connect with students the best when I'm talking about things like video games that I love to play. So Clash of Clans is something I'm on right now.
We brought it back, dude.
We brought it back.
Join the clan.
Join the clan. Clash of Clans, or I don't know, Overwatch, whatever these games are. Fortnite. When I talk to students like that, like their eyes light up.
Okay.
So kids who are so quiet are now like, and that is a door into relationship with them, where then I can speak into the life and push them towards Jesus. And this isn't just students. I serve at our welcome center at our church all the time. And just talking with people, getting to hear, maybe we're talking about the Steelers and it's like, oh, I gained relationship with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we can begin to talk about things that are greater than that. So I think using what you love and talking about what you love as a way to build relationship with someone so that you can begin to evangelize in a way. And I know that sounds weird because it's like, I'm just talking about Clash of Clans.
Yeah.
How is this evangelism? Well, it is. You're building up that relational equity that you can eventually cash in on and say, all right, let's take it from there.
I love that.
Yeah. One thing that my dad says, and he'd probably say it if he was here right now, he said one of the main goals, and this is specifically for like leaders to younger students, right, is one of the goals is building a relationship with that student that can one day bear the weight of any biblical hard truths that that student needs to hear in their life, right? So a lot of times we think like, okay, come into church and we're just going to give you all this biblical information, truth that's going to be so good for you. But a lot of times people aren't ready to receive that because they don't have any relationship with the person who's telling them that. Right. And so once you start to build that relationship, there's a trust factor that's built up there. And then you can start to pour into their lives and evangelize to people and teach them about the gospel in a way that you weren't able to before. Right. I think there's like, this is another example. People in our culture are really turned off by the street preacher.
Yep.
Right. So you're just walking down the street and they're yelling the gospel at you. And what they're saying might be so true and it might be so needed and it might absolutely change your life if you were to listen to it and apply it. But because there's no relationship there, they just brush it off. Right. So you need that relationship to open the door for you to pour into their lives.
Yeah. I think like it was really interesting hearing Peter say like anyone who I see is wearing cool shoes, it's like I know I can talk to them about
that. I'm supposed to share the gospel.
Yeah, yeah, it's like that's an in right there. That's how you get in the door so that you can begin to share it. So you're hitting it right on the head with that. Love that.
There's this. My scenario might be for someone. If you feel like there's someone in your school that you really want to reach, but you don't know how, the principal, I love that, Caleb, that you just shared. This is kind of that laid out. There's a kid in my Chi Alpha that I love dearly, and that I want to reach so bad. So it starts there. Like, I feel like I'm supposed to reach this kid. This kid is all into working out. I like working out. So I've been working out with him. Is there any usually deep Jesus talks when we're pumping iron? No. Okay. We're talking about, you know, our numbers, what pre-workouts we take, whatever. Well, he also started to get into MMA and he's much better than me. So after our workout, we went to the mats and I let this scuzz choke me out for 2 hours, dude. Tap me, Kimura here, armbar there, rear naked choke, give me the bat, just doing the business on me. And I'm like, dude, all this for the freaking gospel. Okay. So hold on, wait. So dude, after this was last week. After getting freaking choke slammed and destroyed, and I'm like, what am I even doing right now? It's like 10 p.m. I'm driving him back to his dorm. We're driving, and he said, hey, dude, I'm thinking about going to a party on Friday, but I feel a little convicted. What do you think? And I was like, this is it, bro. I'll get choke slammed for 2 hours for just the, oh. And I really do think I was willing to spend time with him in something he loved and I also love. And it opened up out of nowhere as I was driving him back to his dorm. He's like, can we talk about this? And we had a 2 hour conversation then about, you know, should you go to parties that people are drinking and smoking? And it was an amazing conversation and he didn't end up going. So I would say, man, just doing things you love, playing soccer, playing chess, reading books, going
getting
to movies,
choked out by your friends,
choked out by your friends. Those things legitimately can lead to someone feeling comfortable enough to ask, can you give me some advice? Colin, you're the only one who hasn't shared.
I'm so excited for this though. Okay. No, because I was that homeschooler that was like, oh my gosh, I don't have friends and I don't know who to reach out to and who to talk to. Okay. The new mission field for life. I'll say this confidently.
For life?
For life. Just, okay. It's going to grow and it's going to continue to get better. And I just love this. Okay. Not just because of like the ministry opportunities, but I just love the sport. It's pickleball. All right. Okay. I don't care.
It is pickleball.
It is pickleball.
Pickleball's
it's
the future.
Pickleball is him.
If there's a pickleball church, please just send us like the right, like.
You gotta explain it.
Actually is kind of everywhere though. Yeah, like Chad Beach was doing this.
It's everywhere, but here's the thing: it's so inclusive to everyone. And so whenever I'm like playing, I don't think I've had a sport that's as easy to be able to bring people onto like a court with you. And so what I'll genuinely do is there's times where I'll go down to the courts, and I'll have like one other person with me. And those things just fill up super fast. And then there's people that are like, oh, can we play with you guys? Then you get to meet. I have played with senior citizens. I've played with people from multiple different countries. There were even some deaf people that were like playing with us recently.
That's awesome.
I have not seen that many people. But what's great is that it offers such an easy way to be able to start having conversations with people.
That's phenomenal.
And typically, like the people that I go with are typically like from church. So whenever they ask, like, oh, how did you guys meet? It's like, we go to church together.
Yeah.
And then that normally leads into like, oh, well, where do you guys go to church? And then we're able to just have some really good conversation and be able to plant some seeds. Sometimes it like leads to some really more in-depth conversations of like, oh, you should come sometimes. But other times it's just as easy as being able to say like, I am a normal person that just beat you in a sport, but.
Oh gosh.
No, I'm going to put that in there. But like, it's just a really easy way to be able to build connections with people that
phenomenal.
You might not otherwise be able to really converse with or see in any other setting.
I love that.
I think so. Like the counter arguments that people can make to this, that I want to counter argue against
pickleball.
That, which actually I will absolutely destroy anybody. But anyways, this is not what this is about. I think the cynical side can say, well, man, are you just like asking them these questions just so you can get to what your motivation is, which is to speak about Jesus? And it's like, I think first off, that is a very cynical way of looking at it, because you can't. So I guess the heart check you have to have is you have to care about the people before you're just like, they're my mission. It's like, they're not just the mission. They're actually our people as well.
Yeah.
And I need to see them as that. So it's not just about getting to the end and then being like, great, check them off the list. Now we're good to go. It's like, no, these are people that God cares about. Yeah. So I'm going to choose to care about them. And part of that is just building relationship and talking about the things you want, you know, things that you love. And so, yeah, I would say if you feel that way, if you're like, man, like this cynical thought of like, you're just using that to get to this, you know, you're using this ends to the means. I would see it very differently.
We also love Jesus, so we can talk about him. Just like I love, you know, talking on Monday about the Steelers because I watched them painfully on Sunday. There's nothing wrong with that. I love Jesus, so me talking about him, I mean, I feel like every conversation can lead to Jesus because I do love him. And that doesn't mean there's an agenda. That means he's my friend. He's my best friend. He's the person I'm living my whole life for. So even if someone came with that energy, like, oh, are you just have an agenda? I'd be like, well, I mean, I'm going to talk about him because I love him. He's the best part of my life. I'll tell you about my favorite video games. I'll tell you about my wife, my best friends, sports I like, and of course, Jesus Christ. And students, we think that God put things that you love inside your hearts for a reason. They might feel random to you, but maybe he's going to use that so you can reach people and you can lead your generation. So make sure you do that with passion for Christ and, of course, love for others. And we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks so much.